15 minutes past 10, BBC Radio 5 Live. I'm Jeff Lloyd. So, let's talk about sex. My baby. More and more people are turning to a coach. Not as in a bus, but as in a sex coach when their sex life loses its magic or isn't happening at all. My guest tonight is Sarah Rose Bright, who became a sex, pleasure and intimacy coach because as a young woman, she said she was terrified of sex, she felt ugly and had no body confidence and didn't know what to do in bed. Sarah thought she wasn't very normal, but after 15 years working as a sexologist and sex coach, she now realises all her feelings are very normal and can be changed. Now, I'm going to talk to Sarah in a second. She is here for at your disposal for any sexual problems you would like to share with her, me and the nation, which could be a kink in itself. You can call us 08085. 909-693, text us on 850-58 or tweet at BBC5Live. And also with Sarah is Beck, who is one of Sarah's clients who we'll come on to in a minute. But first, Sarah, you're a sex coach. Now, I'm guessing that isn't like being a coach in the sense that you're there cheering them on, shouting instructions from the sidelines. At half-time, you're giving them oranges and suggesting a change in techniques. Can you describe to me the role of a sex coach?
Yeah, I'm not with a whistle and a red card by the bed. So thank you for that great introduction. So yeah, a sex coach is a trained professional that helps people overcome sexual issues and a whole range of things for single people, people in relationships, of all genders, all sexual orientations, and also helps them to find sexual fulfillment. So supporting them from where they are to where they want to get to. So it can be a mix of things from talking, education, helping them understand things that have happened in the past and overcome that, support, motivation, a whole host of things. So it has some similarities with a coach as well.
So something I think about, I mean, I think you do good work. At the same time, I think about every other animal in the animal kingdom. They're just getting on with it. Why is it so complicated for us? Like a rabbit isn't thinking about some weird kink it's developed because of something that it saw when it was going through puberty. I mean, what is it about human beings that adds all these layers of complication?
Wow, that's a huge and a great question. So many different things. I think the pressures in modern day society in terms of just things like in terms of body image and how we look, pressures on all of us, teenagers and adults. There's just so many different layers to it. We don't talk about it. Often, you know, very many people I see, it's just never been discussed in their families. They've maybe experienced
trauma.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you don't want to discuss things with your family, though, do you?
However, maybe don't want to talk about it, but actually, I was talking to the taxi driver on the way here about this, and it's just saying to his children, we can help you if there's anything you need to know, if there's anything you're struggling with, and we can talk about sex. We might not have all the answers, but we can go and find out about it. And just telling kids that things are going to change in their bodies, things like that, that just to make it more normal, because by not talking about it, it creates a level of taboo. And it might even be providing children with good books and different things to help them, but just by having nothing at all makes for children, they just so many young people I see struggle to find answers to these questions. And there's so much information out there online, but actually it can be overwhelming, some places to go to have an honest conversation about this. There aren't always a lot for people, there aren't a lot of options in their lives.
Oh, you see, I'm listening to this and I'm agreeing with what you're saying, and I think it makes all this sense. At the same time, I'm feeling really squeamish at the thought of ever having talked about this with my parents. A while ago, my mum came to visit me. We were flicking through the channels and there was some show, you might remember it, where a Dutch sexologist had gone into a school to help teenagers who'd watched too much porn. And basically, she was getting the boys to describe what they thought an evening where they, you know, went home with a girl would be like. And they described it as things happen in porn. And they were describing certain acts. And I thought, my poor mum doesn't need to know that these acts exist. I'm sure these things didn't exist. in her day, and now there's just something that feels really uncomfortable, even though I know you're right. There's something that, why is that? Why are we so squeamish? I mean, our parents, of all people, we know that they've done it.
But part of it is because we don't talk about it. And if we talked about it and it was just more matter of fact and part of everyday conversation, then it would take a lot of that away. And when people come to see me, often they can't talk about it. They can't say sexual words and they feel very, very uncomfortable.
What words do they use in sex? Because I'll tell you, so I don't like saying sex or sexual intercourse. I like to call it the unpleasantness.
Okay.
Have you ever come across that one?
I haven't. Where's that from?
It's from me.
Tell
me
more.
I say to my wife, is it all right if I administer the unpleasantness tonight? And she says, not tonight. Or ever. There's a lot of things on Netflix we haven't got through yet. Do people just have difficulty using those, you know, using, you know, basic sexual terminology?
Absolutely, and they find it very embarrassing and all sorts. And we don't, because we don't have a language, some people don't know even how to name their own genitals, how they would call them.
I call mine Little Jeff.
Right? But that's great. You've got something you're comfortable with, but so many people haven't.
I wouldn't say comfortable.
Okay. You've just shared it on national radio.
That's what maybe. I want to bring it back here because I'm really interested in the reasons people, and women especially, come on your programs and retreats. And that is what Beck did. Now, Beck, you've been on Sarah's 7-week course, which is called Ignite the Erotica. What were your reasons for going on it?
Oh, hiya, Jeff. Well, originally I went on just an evening course and then progressed on to a weekend course and then eventually the 7-week course, which was Ignite the Erotica. I was in my 40s and I'd been single for about 4 years and I didn't really want to be in casual relationships, and because I'd been single for 4 years... some of my confidence had been lost. So I guess I wanted to go on the course for many reasons. Obviously, it was to do with things like I wanted to explore my femininity and my sexuality, which all increases your vital energy force. And when I did go on Sarah's evening course, I just realised how interesting the whole topic was. She's very passionate at describing all, you know, what it was entailing. So obviously that encouraged me to want to study it a little bit further. And she was using all these really ancient traditional wisdoms.
Are we talking about stuff like the Kama Sutra?
No, it was a lot like dancing and meditating and relaxing, using a lot of movement to shift energy. So I'm a yoga teacher, so obviously it just really just straight away, you know, I just identified with all these wonderful, very ancient traditional wisdoms. But she also uses modern mediums as well, such as web. You know, when we were doing the Ignite, the 7-week course, there was a weekly meetup of 12 women together on a webcam. Is that the right word?
Online, yeah.
Online. So anyway, using modern mediums as well as the ancient traditions, such as these beautiful dances and movements. And she would just do other things, Jeff, like on one of the courses, she would dress the room so it was really pretty, it was really beautiful, and it was just this time for yourself. There was like 12 other women on the course, and she would dress the room up, and it was like taking a date with yourself.
Right.
And when you do all these type of activities, because it develops your femininity, and then your sensuality and your sexuality, it becomes like a great antidote to the stresses that we can sometimes experience from our lifestyles. So,
Sarah, can you talk me through this a bit more?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I hate to conform to, you know, sort of along gender lines on this. But when I think about sort of sex. I'm thinking of very... There's a narrow range of my body which is involved here, and I wouldn't necessarily think of decorating a room or dancing around. How does it all tie in?
Well, so many of the women that I work with, they've lack confidence. They're really busy in their lives. Often they are the last person that they think about. They're just, everything else is before them. A lot of them are just exhausted. And so helping women just to learn to look after themselves and help them to feel better about themselves is part of what I do. Because how can we get into the bedroom and enjoy it if we are feeling exhausted and burnt out? So a lot of the work I do, particularly for women, and for example, if I'm working with women who where the libido's gone or they're not feeling any libido at all, often when I work with people, just helping them to find things that feel good in their lives. It might be going to take a dance class, it might be going for a massage, it might be taking time out for themselves, getting dressed up a bit, whatever it is, can make such a huge difference for them. And that's just part of the things that I explore. And also just getting together with other women to talk about it, because often we can't talk about it honestly and openly with our friends. And hearing that they're not alone, so many people when they've got sexual problems feel that like they're the only one that's got going through that problem. There was a piece of research done in America which said that people take on average about 6 years to come forward with a sexual problem, and that's 6 years where they may be suffering from distress and worry and anxiety around that. So just creating spaces where this is more normal. People say when I talk about this, I talk about it like I'm talking about the shopping, and you know, so there's no embarrassment with it. And just that in itself can help people to just to feel more relaxed and more at ease with the topic of sex, and then that can enable them to help have a better conversation about it, speak to their partners about it, and can really make a difference.
And how different are the issues that women come to you with around sex? I mean, it might be loss of libido compared to men. I'm guessing something like that would affect both sexes.
Absolutely.
What are the common things and what are the differences?
So in terms of men, the main issues that we see in my work for men are what's commonly known as erectile dysfunction, which is challenges with getting an erection, maintaining erection, and premature ejaculation, which is coming quicker than they'd like to.
Now, Ed, am I right? I read a little bit of your website and some other background on you before. I've got to be less tense in my buttocks. I've got to be more relaxed.
Relaxation is so key with all of this.
Okay,
we live in a society where we're so busy and we're often living in low-level stress every day of our lives. So just relaxation in itself can actually help people with a lot of the sexual problems. It's a big part of what I do with people.
Now, I'm not in a sexual environment at the moment. I have just relaxed my buttocks and I do feel better for it.
Fabulous. A lot of what I share with people around relaxation and things is appropriate for all of our lives, you know. So, for example, I might teach people to breathe more deeply because they're shallow breathing and that's maybe even creating anxiety and worry. And then they try it sexually, they see it makes a difference, but then they also try it in their day-to-day lives and see it makes a difference. So it's bringing a lot of things like mindfulness, you've probably heard of.
Yes.
So just bringing a lot of the qualities of mindfulness into our sexual experience can change it, because how we learn to do sex conventionally, the sort of porn model of sex, is very goal orientated and focused on the goal of orgasms, ejaculations, erections, but that puts a lot of pressure on people. And so by just bringing in the qualities of mindfulness, helping them to just relax and enjoy the pleasure, to breathe deeply, to slow down, to let go of the goal and just enjoy the moment, that in itself can make a huge difference to people.
In a way, so you know the old thing that your grandparents' generation might say, lie back and think of England. There's a touch of the mindfulness of that in a way, isn't there? Because, you know, you're keeping your mind occupied on something else. Is this as a stretch? You're not going with me on this, are you, Sarah?
No.
Okay, we'll abandon that line of thing. How much of this is being comfortable with your own body? Because, you know, my attitude to this, I think, is like a lot of people. I pity anybody who's ever had to see my body with the lights on really. If I didn't feel such intense self-disgust, would I be having a better time of it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And we've only got one body, so it's like we...
I mean, it's like I've got two sometimes, but that's just in the mass of it.
So absolutely, body image, research shows that people who have negative feelings about their body are less likely to enjoy their sexual experience, absolutely, for sure. And it may be that they don't like the look of their bodies or their genitals. It can be all sorts of different things. So it's really good to understand why we're not enjoying it, our bodies. Is it because of things that have happened in the past? So maybe people have made comments and different things. Is it because we're comparing it against the sort of high standards that we see in magazines and things that are absolutely unrealistic for anybody? So it's really good to look at why we're doing it, and absolutely there's a lot that can be done to change that. And I see people just by talking about it and sharing their worries, just in that in itself can make a real difference. And so I really encourage people to just, how do we start to love our bodies? There's a lot out there we can do.
Beck, can I ask you, because I believe sort of prior to going on Sarah's course, you've been through this divorce. Have you been sexually active post going on the course? And if so, how's that changed for you?
Well, during the 4 years since my separation, I was going on dates. I went on quite a few dates, Jeff.
I'm not asking you for gory details. I'm just maybe asking you more about sort of your mindset and how you approach it.
At the time, I suppose I was quite vulnerable at the age of 40, you know, having to go back to date because it wasn't something that you'd planned. So it was quite a scary time at the time, because it requires you quite a lot of courage. To be intimate and, you know, to go out on dates with people when you feel like you've been through a grieving process. So I did go on quite a few dates, but I just wasn't ready at the time.
Right.
And then going on the course just allowed me to, you know, to work with things like more healing and transformation. And then I felt like I could start to place new intentions in what I wanted, and I was more confident at that point. And I think when you are more confident, you get shifts. You see more choices available for you. You're more optimistic anyway. So then I was more ready to meet somebody. Yeah.
And you have.
Oh, congratulations. Well, Sarah, I mean, we're coming to the end of our time here, but I think like the one takeaway from it for me is like how much it is about a state of mind. It's not about sort of dressing up in a sexy milkman's outfit, as I've tried to little success on a number of occasions in my own marriage. It's much more a mental thing and how you're feeling about yourself, right?
How are you feeling? But also a big thing is about education, because there's so many myths about what good sex looks like and, you know, and what successful sex is and how we should be, how we should perform. So it's really good to look at what our beliefs are around what our expectations are and to see what's true and what's not, and to go and get and to learn about this. You know, I say to people, if you want to learn to play a musical instrument or to dance tango, you go and study and practice. And we don't have a culture of practice when it comes to sex. We're expected that we should all just know, and if we don't, there's something up with us. And some people are born good lovers, others have to learn. And so, you know, and I think that's the majority of us. So I think there's the mindset's absolutely part of it, but there's also that what we can learn that can make a real difference as well.
Just very quickly, Richard is on the line in Reading. Richard, you're in a similar line of work to Sarah.
What I do is I do what they call a meditation massage, which I sort of devised myself, teaching people to relax themselves and take them to a place where they can completely let go. And what I found over the course of doing that was a lot of people actually get turned on for the first time by allowing themselves to actually enjoy that touch. And it's not touching in a sexual way almost. It's just I have a particularly deep voice, which tends to help in that, and have a way of talking.
You see, I'm quite adenoidal. I think my wife finds my voice quite annoying. She also says I've got creepy little hands, which I don't know would be great for a massage.
I think the way you described it, I think you should have a massage, man. I think.
Are you offering?
Well, hey, it's
I'm broad-minded.
It's like you say, oh, I don't talk about my talking with my parents. If you actually look and study what people have said, you know, come the Second World War and just afterwards, they were at it like rabbits. So,
it's true, you know, baby boomers. You're right. Well, you've both inspired me. I might go round to my parents tomorrow for Sunday lunch. I've got a laundry list of things I'd like to talk about, a few dances that I'd like to perform for my parents. Richard, thank you so much. Beck, thanks for talking to us about your experience with Sarah. And Sarah Rose Bright, sex, pleasure and intimacy coach, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us on.
On digital, BBC Sounds, smart speaker and online.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
It's